Acts chapter 1. The text this morning is the verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, the dastardly deed had been committed, and the betrayer collected his 30 pieces of silver. The mock trial was conducted. Jesus of Nazareth was found guilty. He was sentenced to death by crucifixion on a hill outside the city wall called Calvary. After his back had been opened into furrows of blood and a crown of thorns placed upon his head, he was led to that place of execution. There he surrendered himself to the last enemy. He gave up the ghost. To mark the occasion, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Then a man from Arimathea, whose name was Joseph, went to Pilate, begged the body of Christ, and in turn went and took the Savior down from that place of suffering and shame. But that place, nor any other tomb that Joseph placed him in, could hold him. For after 3 days, he rose from the dead, leaving behind an empty tomb. He then appeared unto his 11 disciples. He commissioned them by going into all the world and preaching the gospel, after which he ascended to his heavenly Father. What now? The Lord had returned to his Father. What now? Well, they knew what to do. They held a prayer meeting. We read there in verse 14, and all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. A group of 120 gathered there in the upper room for prayer. Then, as he had done so often, Peter took the lead. There were 120 there, but Peter was the one who stood up and spoke to those gathered there. And he made it clear that one needed to be appointed or chosen to take the place of Judas Iscariot. Look there in verse 20. For it is written, Peter said, in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Then you see there, verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And so those gathered there in that upper room had to choose between those two men, which would take the place of Judas. It's obvious that Peter knew much about those two men. And yet, as I've already said, They're not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. We're not told anything about them other than what Peter said here. So this morning, we'll let Peter tell us what he knew about Joseph and Matthias. And may we get to know them better as well. What is first of all to see the ministry of Peter? Before he tells us about those two men, there's a few things to say about Judas Iscariot. Here we see, first of all, regarding Peter, his sermon, what he had to say in his sermon. Peter stood up as he prepared to address the 120 who were gathered together. He told them that the treacherous behavior of Judas had been prophesied back in the book of Psalms of David. For verse 16, Peter says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled," with reference to Judas. "Which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guides of them that took Judas." And Peter's referring to Psalm 41. In Psalm 41 and verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." That's the verse that Peter was referring to. Now, until he was exposed by the Lord himself, it's interesting, none of the disciples knew who would be the betrayer. You recall the feast of the Passover. The Lord said, "The one who betrays me, his hands are with me on the table." And Peter indicated to John, for John to ask the Lord, "Who is it?" They didn't even know. Until the Lord exposed him. And this same Judas, he was numbered with the 12, chosen to serve the Master. He was given a work to do. You turn, please, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. You look there. Verses 2 and 3 and 4. The names of those whom the Lord chose as his disciples. Verse 4, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and go ye and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what those 12 apostles were given to do. In other words, they were to go and preach the gospel, and they were to lead men and women to Christ, preach the kingdom of heaven. They were to lead lost souls to Christ. Now look at what Peter said back there in Acts 1, verse 16. Then, and brethren, the scripture must have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which would guide to them that took Jesus. Not interesting. The Lord told Judas and the other apostles they were to guide, yes. They were to guide lost sinners to Christ. That was the Lord's work they were to do. But instead, Judas did the devil's work. Oh, he guided individuals to Christ, all right. But it had nothing to do with salvation. He guided them to Christ that he may be arrested and put to death. What an awful individual this man, Judas, was. He instead did the devil's work and guided men to Christ to arrest and crucify him. What a wicked individual Judas Iscariot was. We notice also not only the sermon, or in Peter's sermon, but in this sermon he mentions the suicide of Judas Iscariot. Peter adds some details here about the death of Judas, which are not found in any of the Gospels. Matthew simply says Judas went out and hanged himself. That's all was said. But Peter gives more details. He went out and hanged himself, yes. Does this not talk to us and speak to us of the torment of a guilty conscience? Judas had a guilty conscience. He couldn't live with himself. So he went out and committed suicide. Verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. 30 pieces of silver, the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all the bowels gushed out. What an end to this man who betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Over the edge of the precipice into the darkness of a bottomless pit, Judas fell. His voice would now mingle with the howling lost souls of that imprisoned place called hell. Listen. All who die without Christ will join Judas Iscariot there in that place that is forsaken of God. That place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And all that is heard is the howling of lost souls throughout the caverns of a lost sinner's hell. And Judas is there today. And all who die without Christ will join Judas in that awful place. As well as the sermon and the suicide, we notice the scriptures that Peter uses. Remember when Peter declared his love for Christ? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. As we find it out, in feeding the lambs and the sheep, the Lord was referring to the Word of God. That's how God's people are fed spiritually, with the Word. The Word is the bread of life. And now we see Peter, his first sermon, after he declared his love for the Lord. We see how much scripture is in this sermon by Peter. Verse 16, he referred to Psalm 41, verse 9. Verse 20, he made mention of Psalm 69, verse 25. Again in verse 20, Peter referred to Psalm 109 and verse 8. Now check them all over, cross-reference. Psalm 41, verse 9, Psalm 69, verse 25, Psalm 109, and verse 8. That sermon had plenty of scripture in it. And yet, here in Acts 1, it only covered a few verses. But it was all God's Word. That's what you want to hear, isn't it? When you gather to worship, you want to hear a sermon that's based on Scripture, that's full of the Word of God. You want the Word explained. You want the Word expounded. And you want the One who is the Word made flesh, you want exalted. That's what Peter did. And that's what every preacher of the Word must do, ought to do, is called to do. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Well, Peter's sermon had plenty of scripture in it. As well as the ministry of Peter, we look now at the men with Peter. The two men, Joseph and Matthias. The two men that you know nothing about other than what Peter has told us. The men with Peter. Peter made it, of course, the Lord made it clear that it was the Lord's will that another should be chosen to take the place of Judas Iscariot. To take his place and his bishopric, let another take his office. The office that Judas held, Peter said, let another take. Peter was referring to the word, Psalm 109, verse 8, where we are told, let his days be few, and let another take his office. And there's Peter quoting Psalm 109, verse 8. Regarding the fulfilling of this office, Peter mentions two men. Wherefore of these men? Verse 21. Peter then mentions the two men in verse 23. As we pointed out, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So one of those two men was to take the place of Judas. So what do we learn about them? Well, first of all, we see their company. Their company. This is the only place, as we pointed out, where we are told about Joseph called Barsabas and Matthias. This is quite remarkable. It is quite remarkable in light of what Peter said about them. Verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning with the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be the witness with us of his resurrection. That's basically all we're told about them. What Peter said. And what Peter said about the two men certainly makes interesting reading. Peter was certainly very familiar with, because he said they companied with us. They were in our company. That doesn't mean that they were mere spectators. No, if they were with the disciples for what, 3.5 years, they weren't spectators. No, if they were with the disciples, they would have been serving the Lord in whatever way they could. Likewise, the believers are in the company of other believers, say in a church set up. Then all should be actively involved in serving the Lord. The 12 apostles were the principal characters, of course. But Joseph and Matthias, they were with them. Peter says they accompanied with us, listen, all the time. All the time. They were with the disciples all the time. Bible tells us about some women who were like Joseph and Matthias. You go back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. So that there you are, they have the 12 apostles. Alright? And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They were with the apostles, just the same way as Joseph and Matthias were. And so we read here, certain women were with the apostles, and while they were with them, they served the Lord. They ministered unto him of their substance. Now once again, this was no flash in the pan, as it were. They did a little bit here and there and then that was it. No. Here we have mentioned often in Luke chapter 8. And you go to Matthew 27. Look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. The same women. The same women who ministered unto the Lord while they were with the disciples. Here they're at the cross, and the same women are there. Through that whole period of time, they ministered unto Christ. just like Joseph and Matthias, because they were at the cross too. So believer, in light of what we have read of these two groups of people, the two men and the women, let us see what we can do. What we can do for the Lord. So as I said, Joseph and Matthias, they didn't get a big lot of publicity. Not at all. But they worked for the Lord. You see the two men and their company. You see the two men were consistent. Peter said that the two men walked with us, listen, all the time. All the time, verse 21. And here are two men who kept company with the disciples, and they walked with him all the time. Does that not demonstrate for us how consistent they were? They were in their walk with Christ and his disciples all the time. Sadly, not all believers are as consistent as that in their Christian walk or Christian life. They let less important things come between them and the Lord. And they're not walking with the Lord all the time. They tend to slip backwards. And suddenly, the things of God don't seem to be important anymore. Things of God take second place, maybe third place to the Lord. And they're no longer in the company of God's people. Like Joseph and Matthias, they followed the Lord all the time. They were consistent. Sure, you've read, of course, of those disciples who once followed the Lord. John 6 and verse 66. There we read, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. No, they weren't with Christ all the time. They didn't follow Christ all the time. They went back and walked no more with him. Oh dear Christian, let us not join their ranks. No. Be sure to look to Christ all the time. Be sure to follow Christ all the time. Be sure to serve Christ all the time. All the time. Live your Christian life to the full. And be consistent. Not going in fits and starts. As well as their company, and they were consistent, we see they were consecrated. When we read what Peter said about them, we can surely say they lived lives was consecrated to their Lord. They were with him all the time. They were there at the cross. They witnessed his resurrection. They were consecrated to the Lord. they began following and serving the Lord from the day of John, from the baptism of John. And notice, from the day they met and began following Christ until the day he rose from the dead, Joseph and Matthias were there with Christ. When he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, they were there. When he fed the multitude with loaves and fishes, they were there. When he made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, they were there. When he raised the dead, they were there. And when Christ himself rose from the dead, they were there. Talk about consecration. Talk about living a consistent life. And there, in Acts 1, verse 23, is the only place both names are mentioned. That's why I refer to them as the hidden servants. For those 3 years of walking with the disciples and following Christ, we read nothing about them. And how many are like them? They go through life serving the Lord in their own way, consecrated to their Savior. You don't read about them in the newspapers. You don't read them about them in Christian magazines. No. Like Joseph and Matthias. One reference are the 66 books of the Bible. Joseph and Matthias mentioned. Reminds us what the Lord said. You know, you go about and you do your work for God and nobody knows about it, or no publicity about it. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. That's it. That's what you want, isn't it? You want the well done of God. You want the well done of God. What we do in secret, nobody else sees, the Lord sees. And what the Lord sees in secret, he himself will reward us openly. Bless the Lord. We notice then, finally, the ministry, the Peter, the man with Peter. Finally, the meeting on Peter. The meeting. Going to have a meeting. Going to decide who will take the place of Judas. Going to be Joseph or Matthias. So Peter now conducts this meeting that will decide which of the men to take the place of Judas. See what they did first. We notice they're praying. That's what they did first. Verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, his surname Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed. So it's a good idea to pray. Here was a very important decision to be made. Very important. Who would take the place of Judas Iscariot, the betrayer? No, it wasn't left to Peter to appoint his successor. And was left to anyone's individual decision? No, they prayed. And how we always need to follow that example. We have an important decision to make, whether it's in church matters or in your own private business. You have a decision to make. It's always good to pray about it. Pray about it. Well, that's what Peter did. Led the company there, 120. They had a prayer meeting. Of course, they were used to pray, as we noted in verse 14. And all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I like those two words, prayer, supplication. Prayer has more to do with praise when we pray. Supplication refers to laying hold on God, to laying hold upon the Lord. Well, they were men and women of prayer in that upper room. You'll notice, just in passing, that Mary was in that company. They didn't pray to Mary. Oh no. No, she was praying along with the rest of them. And so you have their praying, and then the purpose. In verse 24, and they prayed and said, Thy Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. Thou hast chosen. And there Peter acknowledges, the Lord had already chosen which of the two men would fulfill Judas's place. There was the purpose. No matter how the two men appeared to others, and as we've seen, they're quite a testimony, but no matter how they appeared in the eyes of others, they still prayed. They wanted to know the mind and the will of God. Does that remind us of what we read in 1 Samuel 16 and 7? The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. And evidently the Lord looked upon the heart of Matthias. Matthias was the man who was chosen. As we read in verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. You never read of Matthias again. But when we get to heaven, we can talk to him. He'll be able to tell us more about what he did after he became the 12th apostle. They were hidden men, they were hidden servants, but as we see, they had quite a testimony. Many of God's people live a life that's hidden, as it were, from the public eye, but they do a great work. And what the Father saith in secret, he rewards open. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our dear Lord, thee for what thou hast said, thy word, by Joseph and Matthias. Our Lord, they have set us an example how we can live for the Lord, how we can serve the Lord. Not looking for the praise of men, but rather the well done of God. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. Bless us, Lord, throughout this Sabbath day. And Lord, as we leave thy house one from the other, grant us traveling mercy and be pleased, Lord, to return us to thy house again this evening. Do it, Lord, that we may begin to close the day in thy house. Thy may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, your abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.